We are Rogue Media Sports.
Hey, it's Mark Goodman.
And I'm Alan Light.
On today's podcast, Record Store Day founder Carrie Colleton is joining us to discuss the April 20th RSD special releases.
Plus, we'll talk live with our audience, the Sound Up Pod Squad, and find out who still listens to vinyl. And some updates from the Beatles universe.
Oh, good. Sound Up with Mark Goodman and Alan Light, the only music podcast that matters. Get it on Pandora, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Doomsday Podcast, and in fact, we are just moments after the whole press availability taping this. In fact, Ed Werder, who I'm looking at right now in a beautiful overcoat situation that he had there at Arrowhead, is actually in the interview room where Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy and others just left this room. And Ed, in one of those strange Mosley type deals, I think I did a show from Italy a few years ago. I am in Paris. It is a
France or Texas.
I'm in Paris, France. The
one that doesn't make sense. Okay. Oh, got it. I got it.
In the shadows of the Eiffel Tower, the Moat Piquet hotel. It's a really nice place. And as you might expect, my man, Mo, the night manager, as I taped this in the lobby, he earlier tonight was helping me. He found the game. I had French people doing the game, like French broadcasters, and I could still hear like Joe Buck and Aikman in the background. And he was able to get it somehow on French TV, on Bain television. And at one point tonight, he just gave me his cell phone and I was watching the whole Cowboys game on Mo's cell phone. So shout out to Mo, who is about 10 feet away from me as we speak. And, you know how European hotels are. I'm a little worried that my voice is going to carry right down that
hall. I see a beautiful candelabra over your right shoulder, some beautiful wood paneling. And it's good to know the French still appreciate all we did for them in World War II. That's nice.
Yeah, no, I think they do. I think they like us for the most part. Okay, let's get right to it, though. You're there. You've just seen everybody come through. McCarthy, I heard you kind of you had some really interesting nuggets that I was retweeting a minute ago, but we'll get to all that. But I just kind of want to get that visceral reaction to were the Cowboys completely sort of devastated, surprised? What was the reaction to this 19-9 loss?
Well, obviously, it wasn't the game that many of us expected or hoped it would be in terms of, you know, a high scoring contest on both sides. In fact, it was a high scoring contest on neither side. It was something we didn't expect at all, a defensive dominated performance by both the Cowboys and the Chiefs. It's a little hard, quite honestly, with the limitations that we have, to get a full sense of how a team's reacting to the moment and to a defeat like this, because you're not in the locker room. You know, just a few people are brought out. We got Mike McCarthy, we got Micah Parsons, and we got Dak Prescott. But I would say, to kind of frame this, you know, that this Cowboys team has been pretty clear about its Super Bowl ambitions, and now they've lost on the road to both of last year's Super Bowl participants. They lost by 2 points to the Buccaneers in week one, and now by 10 to the Chiefs, the number one offense in football, failing to put up a single touchdown at Arrowhead Stadium on the scoreboard. You know, Mike McCarthy insisted the team doesn't change his belief in his team. In fact, he's so confident that he referenced their record being 8-3 when in fact, obviously they're 7-3, or maybe he's so confident they've already placed their Thanksgiving Day game against the Raiders in the win column. You know, Dak Prescott committed 3 turnovers, said he prefers the quick turnaround after a loss that was so decidedly the result of offensive failure. And he also expressed no concerns about whether this team will be ready for the game on Thursday. And that's one they might have to play without both Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, one because of COVID testing positive and not being vaccinated, and CeeDee Lamb now in the concussion protocol. But Dak said, "I'm never going to be worried about how this team's going to respond. As long as I'm part of this team, quarterback of this offense, that's the least of my worries." And it does seem worth knowing, Matt, that they haven't lost consecutive games at any point so far this season. And the Raiders, of course, lost today too, and seem now to be in a free fall in the in the AFC West, a division against which the Cowboys are now 1-2. They beat the Chargers, they lost to the Broncos, and now they've lost to the Chiefs.
Well, bold words. We'll explore this because you can only say so many like bold, you know, 2 weeks ago when they looked awful, there were some bold words. And so at some point, some of these things start to ring hollow. It is time to ask Mark Frito Friedman of Frito Nation Productions to play the music. Let's get to this thing. This was an ugly beginning. Cowboys trail early in this one, fall down, you know, fall behind 9-0. I would say the only thing is in this game, you know, a lot of times, you know, that a couple weeks ago, they got behind the eight ball and they were just kind of, it was just a slop from then on. And they never really were in it. This was a game where it seemingly the Chiefs kept sort of inviting them to get back in. It was like, okay, fumble by Mahomes on the strip sack, the interception early in the second half. I mean, the Cowboys had opportunities to get right back in this game, and pretty much they failed every instance.
Yeah, I would say that it's entirely possible that the Cowboys are the better team if they have Amari Cooper and Tyron Smith on offense and Randy Gregory and DeMarcus Lawrence on defense. Are they better than the Chiefs without all four of those guys? No. This would have been a huge statement win had they been able to win under the circumstances with the personnel that they had available. And I thought the losses really hurt them, you know, 10, then, you know, Tyron Smith not being able to play. I thought it was probably a bad decision by Mike McCarthy to make the offensive line change and put Connor McGovern at left guard in place of Connor Williams, the most penalized player in the NFL. I understand why you want to make that move because, geez, we're going up against a very experienced Chiefs front, you know, with Jaron Reed and Chris Jones, who wound up dominating the game on defense, and Melvin Ingram and Frank Clark. You know, those are four really experienced, you know, defensive linemen. And in the noise, the last thing we can afford is a bunch of penalties and for, you know, Williams to get beat by one of these tackles on a fairly consistent basis. So let's make the move. But I'm sure he made it believing Tyron Smith was going to be there because he practiced all week, limited, but practiced. And I think they got the sense that he was going to be ready to go. And then when he didn't go, now you've got a whole new left side of your line because Terrence Steele is starting his third game over there, but his first one, only his third start at left tackle and his first one next to Connor McGovern. And, you know, talking to some of the Chiefs coaches before the game, they were definitely going to put Chris Jones on that side as much as they could early to test Connor McGovern. Now he beat Zach Martin for a sack late in the game, had 3.5 sacks, a career high for him. So they dominated up front. But, you know, in the noise, with the communication challenges, I just thought it was a bad time to make kind of a belated move. I mean, you've been waiting too long to do it. Why do it now? Wait till after you play the Raiders and you have a little extra time. They didn't. Then they didn't have Tyron Smith. That complicated matters. Not having your – I said before the game on TV, hey, look – They haven't had DeMarcus Lawrence since week one. They haven't had Randy Gregory the last 2 weeks. You don't go through the NFL and not get punished for not having a pass rush, not having your best edge players. That's got to happen at some point. And this seems to me like the game it should happen. And to the credit of the defense, they played well. I mean, Micah Parsons was ridiculous in this game. He had more sacks than more pressures. I think he had 12 pressures as a rookie. And you know what the interesting thing was, Matt, was watching pregame to see if they were using him with the defensive linemen to get some pass rushing opportunities in pregame. And he didn't. They had him warm up with the linebackers. And then he played almost exclusively at left defensive end. And he had an incredible game. You mentioned the strip sack on Mahomes. Mm-hmm. You know, twice I thought the defense set up the offense on a short field at the Kansas City 42 at the end of the first half and early in the third quarter, set him up at the 36, and they got one field goal out of those two possessions. No, Dak threw the interception in the end zone. Gallup got hurt on the play, and I thought the game was pretty much over at the half then. But to their credit, and McCarthy made this point, unlike the Denver game you referenced where they got rolled, they gave up the first 30 points in the game, the defense kept them in the game for four quarters against, you know, one of the most feared quarterbacks in all of football. Now, he hadn't played great all the time, but he's coming off a game where he threw for 400 yards and five touchdown passes.
Yeah, I agree. I think the defense is not really here to blame. There were moments, and you know that RPO Kelsey, they always do some fun stuff. Ed, I'm hoping the Cowboys can recover from Hilaire, the point that he had. You know, they called the taunting on him. Yeah. I hope this collective group can recover from such a dubious or an indignant moment for them. But to your point, I mean, you get the strip sack, you get the interception early in the second half. You put yourself in position to get back in this game. And then time and time again, the offense just fails you. Now, this is going to be interesting, and I don't want this to come as a shock. Glenn Stretch Smith is who he is. Really, really out for Kellen Moore and his whole approach to this game. And I kind of wanted to get your take on it so I can kind of give you a preview of what this is about. His belief, and you, ESPN Stats and Info, you're really good at sort of gathering all these kinds of things. His belief from the naked eye was that the Chiefs, a lot of times, only had like six players in the box. Like that there wasn't really, that game didn't get far enough out of control for him to abandon the run. Now, Ed, this is something we've come back to over the years. Did they give up on the run? Did they run it enough or whatever? And obviously, Zeke and Pollard did not have a ton of carries today. Watching this game, and now that you've kind of talked to people involved, how does that sit with you?
Well, I know that, once they didn't have Amari Cooper, there was a sense among the Chiefs coaches that the Cowboys might well now try to emphasize running the football to sort of offset that the loss in the passing game to one of their best receivers, arguably their best receiver. I hope that at the end of the year, when Jerry and Steven and Will McClay sit down and evaluate the season and decide whether to keep Amari Cooper at $20 million, they put on the Kansas City game film from today and take a hard look at what this offense looks like without him. But I did think they might try to run the ball. The Chiefs thought they might try to run the ball. I really think they just weren't effective at it. I mean, I don't think it was for a lack of trying. I mean, the first series, they did come out and try and shock them. They took the ball. They won the coin toss. They took the ball like they did last week. They tried to, make sure their defense had a lead when it took the field, and that didn't happen. Dak misfired to Michael Gallup on the first play. Could have been a big play in the game. Didn't happen. And then they had a drop on third down. I think it was one of five series that they went three and out. We're talking about the best offense in football. I just think the offensive line was not good enough to run the football on a consistent basis. So I don't know that I really fault Kellen Moore. Mm-hmm. They were playing from behind the whole day, not from far behind. I didn't have to become one dimensional. I just don't think they were very effective doing really anything.
No,
they weren't effective running the ball. Dak was inaccurate. The receivers dropped the ball again. Like they've had two games out of their last three like this. And, one of the interesting points that was made after the game, as I listened to Dak and Mike talk about the similarity with the Denver game, was, Vic Fangio said, "Hey, people aren't playing them the right way. And I know how to play these guys." Well, the thing that the Chiefs did that was similar, according to both McCarthy and Prescott, was they were physical on the outside with the receivers. They played man tight, physical man coverage, challenged them getting off the line of scrimmage, didn't allow free releases, and that seemed to disrupt kind of everything, I think, in their opinion. And then it allowed, obviously, the Chiefs' pass rush to become a bigger factor in the game when they were behind the chains.
I think that's right. And I'm just watching some of those matchups, and I got to have this conversation with you, though. You and I have long been supporters of Dak Prescott, admirers of the way he leads and the way he plays. Coming into this game, I wrote about it. You reported on it. I wrote about it on FoxSports.com. You talked about it on ESPN, but that this was going to be one of those sort of measuring stick opportunities. Mahomes has done it. He's got all the skins on the wall. Dak wants to get it done. He's referred to as an elite quarterback. Yet I got to say, in this game, you can say weather, you can say, has he been banged up? Did he not have his mechanics? Were they not right? I don't know. That was a bad throw, a poor throw into the end zone that Ward intercepted. In fact, it was so poorly, it was so much underthrown that that CD couldn't come back and really make a play. And then, of course, he gets injured on that play. And then throughout the game, just he was just off. I mean, yeah. the timing wasn't there. And again, you said the drops, but again, if you hear voices, Ed is at the stadium. And so people are still out there trying to kind of pack things up. So that's what you hear in the background as we tape this. But I just thought it was quite an opportunity for him and this team. And sure. It was just kind of lost. And they come out of there. And again, in this NFL, I don't know if there are any great teams. I mean, Cardinals seem pretty good, you know, but there aren't a lot of great teams. And I think this is a, I mean, I think the quarterback missed a great opportunity today.
But I'll say this, you know, people kind of ask me, I don't say it on TV, I don't predict games and that sort of thing. But people who ask me, once Tyron wasn't playing and once Amari Cooper, you know, tested positive, and we should talk about that a little bit more because Dak became a little irritated at some of the questions that were asked of him about Amari Cooper and his unvaccinated status and the effect that's negative effect that's having on this team. And Dak reacted in the way you would, I think, expect him to react. But I told people that I thought the Cowboys would lose by 10. I thought it was entirely possible when at full strength, they're the better team, but under the circumstances, I didn't see it. I didn't see them winning this game. I thought they'd lose by double figures and they did lose by exactly 10. And, you know, to put some of this offensive failure into statistical context, you know, Dak was pressured 16 times, including 5 sacks. That's the most sacks and the second most pressures they've subjected themselves to in a game this season. He had a career high, listen to this, career high 13 incompletions on passes thrown 10 or more yards down the field, including 2 interceptions. He finished 3 of 16 on those throws for the game. He's now 0-3 this season when failing to complete at least half of those attempts. Cowboys receivers dropped a season high 4 passes, 2 by Noah Brown, 2 by Cedric Wilson, neither of whom probably get that many opportunities if Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb are on the field. And then listen to this, talking about their run game. Cowboys runners finished with a season low 33 rushing yards before contact, which indicate both that and the pressures on Dak indicate that the Chiefs dominated the line of scrimmage defensively, both in the passing game and in the running game.
Wow, those were good. Ed, would you mind forwarding those to me? I might be able to use those if I write something. I may just stay up the whole night and just get going tomorrow. It is local time here in Paris. It is now 3:23 a.m. By the way, the night manager, Mo, Ed, just brought me some cappuccino.
Very nice, Mo.
Espresso. Yeah, yeah.
I wish somebody would do that for me.
Most of it,
I've been here at the stadium since 7 o'clock this morning. It'd be nice, but that's okay. I'll get by.
Ed Werner live at Arrowhead on the Doomsday Podcast. Ed, I would be remiss if I didn't spend some time right now talking about Goodness steak seasoning. The seasoning was created in 2008 by our friend Jason Velo. He was doing a small roast and wanted to spice it up a bit. And boy, did he ever spice it up. With the encouragement, friends and family, Jason has been packaging his blend of Texas herbs and spices and sharing it with the world. And Goodness steak seasoning is obviously great on steaks, perfect for chicken, hamburgers, grilled vegetables, and much more. Here's how you do it. Just go to bringthetasty.com. That's bringthetasty.com to order your bottle today. If you send me proof, I am going to send you a Doomsday t-shirt. Okay. I'm having some printed up. We got some paraphernalia we're going to put out there and I'm going to get that to you. Again, just go to bringthetasty.com. And this would be a great gift. It's at Christmas time or whatever holiday you celebrate. Happy Hanukkah. Goodness steak seasoning would be a great gift for friends and clients. All right. And by the way, you're in Kansas City, another place, much like Texas, that is famous for barbecue. Have you ever ventured out into trying some of the famous Kansas City barbecue when you're in town?
I've been to Gates. I ate at a place near my hotel last night called Burnt Ends. I had some barbecue chicken. I would say that I think there's some places in Texas that has barbecue offerings that are absolutely equal of anything I've ever had in Kansas City. I've eaten at Jack Stack's before. So I've eaten at Q39, which comes with Andy Reid's personal recommendation. So if you're ever in Kansas City, you want to try a place the Chiefs head coach likes, it's called Q39. It's a very nice place, very busy. So I've tried the barbecue. And, speaking of barbecue, and maybe this is a poor segue, maybe you're not even ready for it. But the defense did not get barbecued by Patrick Mahomes. He, in fact, didn't throw a touchdown pass in the game. And yet he's 4-1 when that doesn't happen, when he doesn't throw a touchdown pass. But I wanted to make a point here. We've talked about the defense succeeding, Micah Parsons, but I don't want to overlook Dan Quinn, the first-year defensive coordinator, because I thought he did exactly the right thing. You know, it was interesting to me coming into the game. You know, he and Gus Bradley, the Raiders defensive coordinator, worked together under Pete Carroll in Seattle. Gus, during the Legion of Boom days, was a defensive coordinator, won a Super Bowl. He left for a head coaching job. Dan then became the defensive coordinator defensive coordinator succeeding him in Seattle. So last week, Gus Bradley plays against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And Gus Bradley didn't do what most teams have been doing against the Chiefs to hold down their offense. They've been playing too deep zone and frustrating Mahomes and testing his patience and making the Chiefs take the underneath throws and break tackles and make plays patiently down the field. And a result has been a lot of mistakes by Mahomes, a lot of turnovers. So that's kind of, he's faced more too deep zone than any quarterback in football. The Cowboys coming into this game had played too deep zone only 33% of the time on defense. That's the sixth fewest snaps on defense in cover two deep zone. Today, they played almost exclusively two deep zone. Dan Quinn watched the tape from last week of what happened to one of his former colleagues in Seattle, a guy who has the same defensive philosophy in many ways as he does. And he decided, I'm not doing what Gus Bradley did. I'm doing what the league has shown me is the prudent thing to do and the right approach to take against this team. And so he changed, for the most part, what they did, and they executed extremely well. They created a couple turnovers. They kept the Cowboy offense in the game. I mean, like Zach Martin said after this game, he said, if you'd have told me before the game that they were going to score 19 points, he says, I'd really liked our damn chances in that situation. So totally the failure of the defense or the offense in this loss. Credit to Micah Parsons for his incredible play on the field, all the pressures he created, and to Dan Quinn for changing his defensive tactics. And we've seen him do that. And we've lauded the fact that he's been willing to make adjustments in the game. Here's one he made going into a game, a big one. So we see what this man is now capable of from a strategic standpoint.
You know, I think you're right. And I thought the timing was right now to talk about Patrick Mahomes for a second, because I understand that, Is it correct, Ed, to say that you put this request in for Patrick Mahomes several weeks ago and had been angling for this all along to get a chance to have a one-on-one conversation with Patrick Mahomes?
Well, I hope everyone will check my Twitter account, because there's a photograph that proves that I did interview Patrick Mahomes, a Super Bowl and league MVP. Here's what happened. It's kind of a funny story. So, you know, as the game's kind of coming to a conclusion, the final 5 minutes or so, we're sitting in the press box. We usually do a one-on-one interview with somebody from the winning team. An awful lot of times it's been the Cowboys, seven times, not eight, as Mike McCarthy thinks, but seven times we've interviewed a Cowboy player after a game. Anyway, so, you know, here's Chris Jones just blowing up the game. And the number one scoring offense in football has not scored a single touchdown. And Chris Jones has 3.5 sacks, career high. A couple pressures, couple hits, yada, yada, yada. And so we decide, hey, we want Chris Jones. Hey, is Chris Jones any good at this? Like, I don't want to interview a guy who's no good at this, because I don't think I'm particularly good at it, and I don't want us both to be bad. So the word comes back from the Chiefs that, yeah, he's okay. He's pretty good at this. And I said, okay, well, put us down for Chris Jones. So we go down to the field and we're escorted onto the field from the tunnel with 2 minutes to go. And Brad G, who's the assistant PR guy with the Chiefs, tells me that, oh, you can't have Chris Jones because Fox now wants Chris Jones. And I said, well, so they're not taking Mahomes? And he said, no. And I said, put me down for Mahomes. So Patrick Mahomes is my second choice today. And I got him. I got Patrick Mahomes as my second choice. And the funny thing, I do the Patrick Mahomes interview and he's good and everything. He's very, very, very nice guy. And he talked about, where they are as an offense, kind of coming around, but he still feels like it's not quite right yet. It's not what it needs to be or where it can be. But a lot of credit to, the defense and to Chris Jones in particular. And I went over to Chris Jones as he was walking away from the midfield jersey exchange and heading over to be interviewed by Tom Rinaldi. And I said, Chris, he fist bumped me. I said, hey, fantastic game. You know what the biggest thing you did today was? And he said, no, what? And I said, you knocked Patrick Mahomes off the network. You get to do the interview on Fox with Tom Rinaldi, Troy Aikman, and Joe Buck after the game. So that's quite an accomplishment for any defensive player to take Patrick Holmes and make him somebody's second choice.
Did he get a kick out of that?
He did chuckle at it. Yeah.
He gave you a good chuckle.
I think he'll remember me the next time I ask for him. I'll be his choice, I'm sure.
Did you get a chance to ask Patrick Mahomes if he's listened to the Doomsday podcast? Did that come up at all?
I didn't this time, but I have periodically run into him in the offseason in Dallas at golf courses, including Cowboys golf course. And next time I have a casual moment with him like that, I'll be sure to recommend us and make sure that he is listening. I assume he is. I mean, I just assume he is. Why would he not?
I think that's a very good assumption on your part. And I tell you, we're getting ready, Ed, to go to, and this is going to be a volatile Glenn Stretch-Smith performance. So I want people to know that. But before we do that, I wanted to talk about something called PowerToThrive.net. There's a new book out there. Ed, you're a guy who likes, being inspired by motivational speakers. There's a guy that I've gotten to know named Rich Cavanaugh. And Ed, you're a guy, you like 1 Timothy. You also like 2 Timothy. This one comes from 1 Timothy 1:7. This book is that's the basis for a new book out there called Power to Thrive. And Ed, this is kind of thing you guys like you and I need to stay up all night. And we're just constantly having trouble balancing our work lives. Although I think I seem to be pretty good at it. but Ed, you deserve to thrive. And Rich is just one of those guys. The guy was I was reading up on him recently. He was like a ski instructor, kind of like the world you come from. And he just decided to become this motivational guru. And now he's just a great speaker. He's a sought after speaker. So Ed, I've got a book for you and I want you to read it and I'll even get it signed for you if you want. But this is Rich Cavanaugh. And here's what I want people to do. Go to powertothrive.net and sign up for your email. And what will happen is we'll get you a free book. And also, Ed, Rich will give us credit for mentioning him if people will actually do this. No, I think they will. And we've proven our audience always delivers. All right. It is time for Glenn Stretch Smith. Whoa. Be ready for this one. Things are going to get a little scary as he grades this Cowboys offense.
Let's start on defense. And Stretch, it was, if you hold Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs to 19 points. I mean, pretty much and have them kick field goals. That's a game you need to win. Let's start, if we could, with up front on that Cowboys defensive line. I thought of you when Dorrance Armstrong came rolling through there for a big sack. What did you see from that aspect of the team? And do you agree, first of all, with me that you felt like the defense played well enough for the Cowboys to win?
No, there's no question they played well enough to win. And I mean, starting up front, I did see some really good things out of Tristan Hill. I saw some good things out of Dorrance Armstrong. Obviously, Hamilton, outside of him jumping in a critical situation right there. I mean, those guys, Odighi Zua, they are really playing hard. And I'm talking about they're running really good stunts. They're keeping good lane recognition where their pass rush lanes are. They're really, really doing a good job. And they played well enough to win up front. And when you combine the fact that, I mean, Parsons came off the edge doing what he's doing, he is a hell of a football player. And I think something you can build on. I mean, I'm going to give overall a defensive grade because I really think the grade fits overall for what we saw in the secondary, what we saw out of Kazee, what we're seeing out of Malik Hooker. Now, Brown got in a couple different positions where, boy, he was one-on-one with Tyreek and got turned around. That can happen, especially against Kansas City and what they do with cut splits and the things that they do as far as running whip routes, which is a hard inside look, and then breaking it back outside, what they do with their pick stuff with Kelsey and the way that their pass game is designed. And then obviously what they do with the run game. But I loved how they tried to run. They ran the option and scored the touchdown, the one touchdown they got, but they came back in a critical situation, tried to run the option again. And I mean, Parsons played it perfect. So there's so many things that I see defensively week to week. This team continue to get better and better and better. So I thought defensively you had a winning grade. I'm giving the entire defense because I would give them all a B. I saw some good things out of Vanderesh, especially in coverage. I gave the entire group a B. I thought they really played well as a group.
Okay, a B for the defense. Obviously, Kearse had the interception and then the strip sack. You mentioned Micah Parsons. He continues to be, very, very difficult to block. It makes game-changing plays. Now, where this game was lost was the offense's inability to function. And even then, when they had chances, they bogged down down there and had to settle for field goals. And that's really where this game comes down to. Stretch, let's start with the quarterback. I mean, for the longest time, he was stuck on about 136 yards passing, but that's not even half the story. I mean, underthrowing, the interception late in the first half was a ball that tries to throw a deep ball, underthrows it, and that's the one CeeDee Lamb ends up getting hurt on when his helmet bangs against the turf. But that really on that, I mean, you know, just another opportunity blown by the Cowboys right there.
Yeah, Dak, I know some people that graded him coming out of college, and the criticism was he has a hard time throwing into any kind of bad weather, any wind, any breeze. He has a hard time. Well, this is the first time he threw that ball into a breeze. He underthrew that ball. He threw the three pump to Wilson later in the game. He underthrew that ball that he almost caught. But the ball was underthrown. He threw some really poor deep overs. I'm concerned about, as the weather turns a little cold here, I'm concerned about Dak and his inability to be able to drive the ball into a breeze or into a wind. He did not play good. I think he'll be the first to tell you he didn't play good. He missed throws. I didn't like the checks they were making. Now, that's not always on him. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But overall, a really poor effort from the quarterback, and he's just going to get barely above an F. I'm going to give him a D. I'm going to grade a little bit nice on the curb.
He gets a D. Running backs. Pollard It looked like Zeke actually got banged up on that ankle over on a sideline play. The Pollard continues to be a load in space, certainly catching the ball. And on one of those reverse plays, actually got out in space and did some things. Can be a weapon for the Cowboys. In fact, was really one of their only weapons in this game.
Yeah, the backs gave you an effort that I thought was a winning effort. I mean, I thought they finished runs. Zeke continues to protect well. Pollard's a good route runner. They're not afraid to, you know, get those guys in any kind of empty sets. He did a really nice job on the screen where he kind of waited on his blockers to kick it out, and he spit it up in there, did Pollard. So I gave those two guys a B. And as far as that, Mosley, get on to what's going to make my ass itch with the rest of this offense.
Okay, Stretch, this is what either people are dying to hear or they're scared to hear, whatever mindset they have. Let's talk about this O-line. And obviously, Tyron Smith was unable to go again, but across the board, some major issues. And, of course, Chris Jones, who had moved inside recently for the Chiefs and has played on the outside at times but can move inside, completely took over this ball game and had 3.5 sacks.
Yeah, Mosley, if you don't mind, I'm going to start with the receivers and let's finish with the offensive line. If you're all right with that, I thought dropping balls was a real problem for me. There are the twos, but I'm going to just tell you the receivers got an F. Offensive line wise, I don't understand the movement of. When you take Williams out, move McGovern in, I'm a little confused about that. I didn't think he was grading that poorly to deserve to get benched. But the Dallas offensive line got absolutely handled by the 26th ranked defense in the NFL, and they were not blitzing guys. They ran some blitzes. But they were getting pressure and sacking the quarterback with a four-man pressure. And like you said, Chris Jones had his way across that front. I've been very complimentary of Joe Philbin, and I feel like the job that he's done coaching this offensive line. But today, they were not ready to come out. And the thing that bothers me is they win the toss and they take the ball. In that situation, you got to be ready. In a place like Kansas City, don't go 3-and-out. Don't trot your ass up there and go 3-and-out. You can do anything but that. And that bothered me. Here's the other thing. When the offensive coordinator doesn't have the confidence to run the football into a six-man box, that tells me that he doesn't have the confidence in the offensive line. And it screams of a problem. It screams of something that I didn't like seeing. I didn't like seeing it 2 weeks ago against Denver, and I damn sure didn't like seeing it tonight. I'm giving the offensive line an F. And while I'm hot, let me carry on to an offensive coordinator who we've given him a lot of credit. I've given him a lot of credit this year for designing some good plays and putting them in, but for being so hard-headed that he wouldn't run the football against the six-man box, I'm giving Kellen Moore an F+. Run the football into a six-man box and quit being so damn hard-headed. The game was never out of reach. You could have had patience and run the football. And for me, 2 out of 3 weeks, you've shown your rear end a little bit here. I tell you what, get your offensive line back cranked up and get back to doing what you can do, which is controlling the football by running the football.
Wow, the rare F-plus has been given by Glenn Stretch Smith. Now, I thought of you also on the special teams coordinator who you really buttered up last week after that great block that he had, and it was one of the first times you had really a heat praise upon the man. But Johnny Bones Fossil, I thought some of the coverage units left a little bit to be desired. And in this league, if you give someone the ball starting at 35 or the 40, it happened twice in this game. That is an issue.
Yeah, they gave it up. They gave up two what I would consider to be first downs. 10-yard returns at the 35 and the 37. Here's what I'll say to the flip side of that. Hey, Dave Taub is one of the best special teams guys in the league, and there are times when their guys win too. So they had a pretty good scheme. They were able to block the Cowboys. I'm sure that's something that can get cleaned up. It wasn't something that was really glaring to me. So I'm not, you know, I don't like being, again, two first downs. That's a big deal in the kicking game. And we can, you know, sit here and cut that a lot of different ways. But I think that you got to give there. Sometimes you have to give credit to Dave Taub and the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's what I'm going to choose to do tonight.
Glenn Stretch Smith, we appreciate your time. I usually like to talk a little Miller Lite with you, but tonight you were on a tight time frame and have to get ready for some of that TV work. Tremendous work tonight. Thank you very much. Carry on, and you can watch Stretch on WFAA. That's the channel. That's the ABC affiliate in Dallas-Fort Worth. Thank you, Stretch.
All right, have a good night, guys.
There he goes. Kind of a disgusted Stretch goes into the evening, and there he was with Stretch Plays.
All right, there he was, the rear end, the F plus for Kellen Moore. I didn't know that he gave F pluses, but he was not pleased with Kellen Moore's work. Ed, you mentioned it already. CeeDee Lamb gets hurt this game. They were already playing without Amari Cooper. We knew something was up when it was kind of like, you know, not that we're the greatest. We've both been good reporters at times. You've actually won a lot of awards for it. But when it came, when we heard he had it, he had the COVID protocols. And in the minute it was kind of like, well, he's going to miss a couple of games. I mean, anyway, we started kind of doing the math and you're like, something's up here. All right. And it becomes obvious that he was unvaccinated. Now, Jerry Jones certainly made most of, and you remember, Ed, training camp right before that, Michael Irvin, who was on with us, had challenged the Cowboys and said, hey, if you want this to be a special year and you care about your teammates, you will get vaccinated. And then Jerry Jones came on. I think you were out there. And Jerry said, I absolutely support what Michael said, and I'm behind him and all that kind of stuff. So that is sort of the context for how this comes up. And so the Cowboys, all these teams like to brag on their great vaccination rates, but every now and then one of these headliner type players is unvaccinated. We found out Aaron Rodgers was. Now we find out Amari Cooper was. Ed, just the reaction, you were there. We now know what this can mean to a team. With this team, it means definitely he's going to miss two games.
The first thing I think, you know, fans need to recognize the difference, because a lot of people are making the point, well, vaccinated, unvaccinated, you know, both parties are getting COVID. Like Ben Roethlisberger is vaccinated and he got COVID and he missed a game. And Aaron Rodgers is not vaccinated and he got COVID and he missed a game. So what's the difference? Well, the difference is you give yourself a better chance to come back sooner if you're vaccinated, because an unvaccinated player has to miss a minimum of 10 days, whereas a vaccinated player may only miss 5 days if he's able to be symptom free and have two negative tests 24 hours apart. So in this case, Amari Cooper, because of his positive test occurring when it did, was probably, you know, whether he was vaccinated or not, he was probably going to miss two games, because there's just it's a quick turn. They've got, you know, two games in 5 days. And that's one of the points that Dak Prescott defended Amari Cooper on. But you're right. The Cowboys made it seem like they had nothing to worry about in this regard. There's only three or four guys on our entire roster who are not vaccinated. And most of them, they said in training camp, have begun the process. Right. And maybe that's true. And maybe Amari Cooper is one of the three or four and he didn't get vaccinated, but he obviously, his decision has hurt his team. And it's a fair question to ask. I don't think Dak certainly didn't like it. He didn't like being asked about it. He didn't like being put in that position. But remember, he was careful at training camp when he was asked if he was vaccinated. He was careful to suggest that he was, but also that he would he would support players who made a different decision, and he felt like it was an individual's right to make whatever decision was in their best interest. They're responsible for their own health, so forth and so on. And he sort of, I guess now we know why he took that position, is because he didn't want to have to criticize a prominent teammate who would ultimately test positive, like Amari Cooper. But he did defend him today. He did say he's his brother, it's his teammate. He's not going to criticize him. And then he made the point about, you know, he probably would have missed both games anyway because of the quick turnaround. But so it's a fair question to ask. I think Amari Cooper, because the Cowboys lost the game and because they lost the game without scoring a touchdown and then lost their second best receiver in the process of that, I think there's going to be criticism for Amari Cooper. And it'll be interesting to see if it's fairly placed or if it's over the top. But I think criticism is due Amari Cooper in this situation.
I think it is, and you and I have tried not to, I don't feel like we have, you know, tried to tell everybody what they should do. We're both upfront with the fact that we're fully vaccinated, and I try to get every booster that hits the market. I'm like, give me whatever. And I don't, but you know, people that don't, I really don't get after. I just think the simple fact is it certainly lessens your chances of getting it. And then when you do get it, we know that you can get it, even though you've been vaccinated. The symptoms seem to be way, way less. Are there exceptions? Sure. I'm sure. But we see over and over and over again. I've seen it. People very close to me that are elderly folks that have had it, but because they're vaccinated, fortunately, they didn't have bad. So again, all that stuff is, that's not even the debatable type deal. All that stuff is just what I'm saying, science, and it's out there. But it is interesting that Dak said what he said. And I don't know if he has any other way he can go, because I don't think any quarterback wants to be put in a situation where they're criticizing one of their top receivers and teammates.
It's not going to happen with this guy. He's not going to criticize somebody for dropping a ball. He's certainly not going to criticize somebody for, you know, not being vaccinated and testing positive for COVID and missing maybe more games than he otherwise would have. In this case, maybe not. He's just not going to do that. He's not going to publicly criticize a teammate. He's the leader of this team. Any you know, admonishments that come will come in private. I have no doubt he holds people accountable for their mistakes. But I think he would respect anybody in this situation, and he's certainly not going to criticize a prominent, important teammate like Amari Cooper.
All right. By the time our people are listening, it'll be like 3 days until they'll hear another one. I mean, this is almost like a 2-for-1 type deal. In fact, Ed, I was going to talk to you about that. I was hoping you would give me a 2-for-1 special. I did, by the way, Ed, one last thing I need to mention before we have one last thing. I need to talk about Miller Lite. Ed, is there anything you like doing more with your buddies when you're just out there cracking open some cold ones, like KC, where you are right now? What a great place to have a Miller Lite. Since 1975, Miller Lite has been the beer with taste you could depend on. No games, no gimmicks. Just hanging out with friends like you and I, Ed, even though I try to keep my drinking to a minimum after all this pain meds I've had to be on the last year. Miller Lite, great taste, 96 calories. Go to MillerLite.com/doomsday to find delivery options near you, or you could pick up some Miller Lite pretty much anywhere they sell beer. It's Miller time. And Ed, you'll love to know this. Miller Lite, one of the reasons they always keep coming back to us is they say that we send them a lot of people, and they've been going to that deal and getting that cool deal. Go to MillerLite.com/doomsday to find delivery options near you. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories, 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. Ed, I want on me tonight, I want you to go get back safely to the hotel. And it's about 9 o'clock there. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning here where I am. I did think about this, Ed, a minute ago. I thought to myself, why do I feel so wide awake? And then it hit me that it's 9 p.m. to my body, right? Because I just landed this morning. So anyway, these things just pop into my head. Okay, Ed, this is an interesting one because you face Denver and you get shellacked couple of weeks ago. Then you just kind of go out there and you're unable to function on offense, whether you're missing people or not. You didn't function well, lose 19-9. I would say, Ed, let me check my schedule real quick. Yes, another AFC West opponent.
Yeah, and led by Rich Bisaccia, former, he's the interim head coach of the Raiders since John Gruden resigned. And he's been placed in a very difficult situation, obviously. And they succeeded right away. He won their first two games, but the more recent results have not been quite as favorable to the former Cowboys special teams guru. But I think the interesting thing to watch here as the Cowboys play the Raiders is dwindling results, dwindling point totals against AFC West teams. You know, they played the Chargers in week two. They won. They only scored 20 points. That was the fewest points they scored with Dak as their quarterback until they lost to the Broncos and only scored 16. And that was the fewest points they had scored with Dak as their quarterback until today when they played the Chiefs and only scored 9. So if this trend continues, Thursday is not going to be a good day to be Dak Prescott.
Wow. It is. That is true. I love it when you kind of introduce these trends to us. And I love how you kind of kept us on the edge of our seat. Ed, go home, relax a little bit. I hope your flight isn't too early. You've had a great day of TV. The people over here in France, big fans of yours. Special thanks to Mo. In fact, to Ed, I'll show you. I don't know if we're going to release any of this to our folks. I've got the Nutella here. I've got a biscotti that I'm having since it's 4 a.m. and I've got a Madeleine. You ever heard of a Madeleine cookie?
No.
I'm spreading the Nutella onto my Madeleine cookie. Yeah. Oh. I also have some vitamin C mix here that I'm putting in. So anyway, lots of stuff going on. Ed, great job by you. And we will talk to you just in a couple of days.
I mean, 72
Thanksgiving
hours.
It's upon us. Wow. Wow. Ed, let's just take Thanksgiving off. What do you think? No, our people demand a doomsday podcast. And so does Frito. For Mark Frito Friedman, Ed Werder in Kansas City, for myself here in Paris, we want to wish you an early happy Thanksgiving, and we will talk to you soon. Good night from far north Dallas.
Very far north Dallas, almost in France.
Hey, it's Mark Goodman.
And I'm Alan Light.
On today's podcast, Record Store Day founder Carrie Colleton is joining us to discuss the April 20th RSD special releases.
Plus, we'll talk live with our audience, the Sound Up Pod Squad, and find out who still listens to vinyl. And some updates from the Beatles universe.
Oh, good. Sound Up with Mark Goodman and Alan Light, the only music podcast that matters. Get it on Pandora, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.